Okay, I think we're live, Robert.
All right. Well, if all's right in the world, welcome to Cambridge Inside Out. Today's
So are you seeing me? I guess you see me fully.
Yeah. So today is what's today? Today is
the 6th.
October 6th, Tuesday, yeah. October 6th. It's exactly 28 days to the presidential election.
Oh.
Yeah, 4 weeks. I never thought we'd see the day, but it's actually seems to be getting there. So anyway, the so other things happening around town.
Yeah.
You know, I think fair to say that we've had a kind of an eventful night last night at City Hall.
Yeah, I tuned into most of it.
Yeah, kind of a culmination of a lot of things that have been brewing for a while, right? There's certainly, I think, probably the biggest one that's been going on the longest was the final ordination on a 7-2 vote of the so-called affordable housing overlay.
We're not going to talk about that a lot, are we? Because I know we
No. But that was, it was long in coming, you know, and a lot going up to it. We'll see where it goes from here.
Yeah.
There was also a passage or ordination of of something having to do with cycling safety ordinance,
right?
Which is kind of a curious piece of legislation.
Did you read through all of that? I never really did.
You know, I read through of it. I kind of got wind of it when it was first being presented. Mm-hmm. Basically, there was the Cambridge Bicycle Safety Group was playing some pretty serious political hardball,
right?
And pretty much saying we realize the city council, the city manager may have authority, but we're going to make it so that we're going to have what we want anyway. So they kind of baked right into the legislation. Timelines that basically required separated bicycle infrastructure. And the only way the manager couldn't do it was if they'd have to give a very elaborate financial and otherwise justification for not doing it.
But there was a bicycle plan on somewhere in the, right?
You know, the thing is that's
ordained. I don't understand that.
The Cambridge Bicycle Plan has been described by people at the Community Development Department as aspirational.
I see.
Meaning this is what we think we want.
But it wasn't ordained. Okay. Yeah.
Well, the thing is then the city council sort of adopted it as sort of, you know, giving its blessing. But the thing is it says this is what we think we ought to be doing and this is, you know, over the long haul. But the thing is that you know, if the manager said, well, we don't have the funding this year to do it, then so be it. Or if we've decided that this one here is impractical, so be it. But the thing is, they basically, at least the way I understand it, they tried to bake into the, like as a municipal ordinance, to basically say that the manager can't say no.
I see.
Now, I am of the opinion, though I'm certainly not a lawyer, but I am of the opinion that this is not a particularly enforceable ordinance. But the thing is that, it would be awkward to say the least if the manager, you know, and city staff and the city departments didn't comply with it.
Okay. So what about Tim Toomey's? He's made these comments before about there was nothing said about wearing helmets, lights. I mean, does that come into safety? I mean, I don't know. I mean, is that not
possible
or couldn't be enforced or what?
I think that all of those things they're not really required under Massachusetts laws.
So you didn't but we could have put it in if we wanted to.
I think that really what you hear from Councillor Toomey there is basically a sense of exasperation.
Yeah.
Because basically this plan is being pushed through, which has some good elements, but some questionable, debatable elements. For example, as I think Councillor Toomey and others have pointed out, that unlike other parts of the city, a place like Cambridge Street, if you were to eliminate a lot of parking spaces because you wanted to provide some marginal benefit to cyclists, it's not like other parts of the city, you know, because the only spaces they have for the businesses along Cambridge Street are the on-street Cambridge Street parking spaces.
Right.
So you're basically doing a kind of a you're basically playing one group against another at this
point. What about buses? Aren't buses now run on Cambridge Street or no?
Oh, they always have, you know, and that's not going to change.
Are they proposing, I know the big thing now is bus only lanes or bus share.
Right.
Is that happening? It's happening a little bit. It happened in Harvard Square, I noticed.
You can certainly do that. But one of the things about Cambridge Street is the buses we're typically talking about would be the 69 bus.
Yeah.
And the thing is that runs, what is it, every 40 minutes or something?
All the time? Yeah.
Right. Well, that's not all the time, but well, the thing is that it's it, right. But the thing is, so do you want to have a lanes that are, I mean, the one kind of problem I think with some of the bus only lanes, if you're on a street that has a bus coming through relatively infrequently,
River then, Street. Look at River Street. They're proposing that for River Street.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's not very frequent.
I know it. So I think that there are some logical flaws in the way some of these are laid out. Yeah. I mean, it's another thing if you're dealing with a street that's relative, that's very busy with very frequent bus service. You know, then you can, I think you can make the case pretty easily, but I don't think you can make it so universally. And so that's kind of a problem. But anyway, I think, and you know, where it wasn't there was the Toomey amendment to the proposal was to delay any implementation on Cambridge Street until there could be much more feedback and study.
I don't remember.
Right. But the thing is, there are a lot of other streets, whether they need it or not, are just, right. You know, basically because, you know, the Cambridge Bike Committee and a few others decided this is what we want, then somehow that becomes law. It's almost like the manager doesn't even get to play a role in the management of the city if, in fact, that's the way the ordinance is laid out.
Can I say something? I mean, it's just interesting to me that we complain all the time about the luxury apartments, the tech jobs, Kendall Square, and all these people that work in those places are younger people that are using bikes and do make up, you know, and they're renters and they are part of our community. So it's like, oh my, we're trying to say, so we're pleasing one part and then we're saying, it just, something doesn't compute. Well, about all this, it's not like the average person is getting on their bike. I mean, I just don't feel, a lot of people do use bikes, but a lot of people don't, and they walk or they use public transportation too, you know, so I don't know.
I think a lot of this personally, it's sort of like public policy by the ounce, you know. The thing is that
it shows up. I mean, it's like, you know,
that's kind of become the way of things these days,
and not just in this city, it's happening across the country in places, you know, where there's, you know, young people that want, which some good, I don't know.
Well, I mean, listen, I think a lot of us are all gung-ho for safety in general, for pedestrians, cyclists, automobile drivers, buses.
I agree with all that, but moderation. I mean, just,
I think that there has to be a place to actually balance things one against each other to decide what's the better benefit here. And there's more than one way to achieve pretty good levels of safety. And so just to basically say that a particular committee has met and they have decided that this is the only way it can be done. And therefore that's the way it will be done. And thou shalt not disagree. That's something about which I have some
issues. Kind of, you know, goes along with the whole shared street. I'd rather they propose streets to be completely closed, maybe at certain times of the week, really, than have the shared street. It's trying to meet everybody's needs and it meets nobody's needs, except for cyclists. And I'm not against cyclists, but that's who it benefits the most.
One of the things, you know, speaking of shared streets, it was kind of an interesting thing at a special meeting of the council where they were talking about the COVID-19 updates. And they asked directly Joseph Barr, director of traffic, parking, and transportation. What's the status of this massive expansion of the shared streets program? Because they'd really implemented three streets, right? And in even that, actually, Harvard Street was only halfway to implement it.
Right.
From Prospect Street up toward Harvard.
Right.
And his answer, which kind of annoyed a few of the
counselors. He said this twice. He said it in the council meeting before this too. So it's not like
But the thing is that what he basically then says is that, well, you know, based on actual public feedback, there didn't seem to be an appetite for this.
It was an underwhelming
support.
And they went crazy about that.
Well, I mean, the thing is, it's, you know, like, I think, is it called a puffer fish? Is a fish that where it sort of tries to appear bigger than it really is?
Yeah.
I mean, I forget if that's a puffer fish or just some fish that blows itself up, whatever, a blowfish,
like
maybe blowfish.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of a tactic to make yourself, to enlarge yourself so that you can ward off predators and whatever.
It does, you know, sound that like, seems, what are you saying, really?
Yeah, but I think that's kind of becoming a kind of a standard practice now in terms of advocacy in front of Cambridge City Council, and they fall for it very easily. So if you basically have one meeting where you appear to be the biggest thing on earth, then they say, "Oh my goodness, we've got to respond to you because you're the biggest thing on earth."
And also,
but then when they actually go out to seek public feedback on something like the Shared Street program,
because it said proposed, it's underwhelming. Shared streets. It said proposed, which means that certain people that wanted these proposed them. That doesn't mean that everybody did. And then they got feedback, and it was not overwhelming to people wanted it. It was like, but those people don't count somehow.
Well, either that or people will question the validity of their counting or not.
Well,
As I've said to many times over, you know, I in principle kind of appreciate the idea of low volume pedestrian dominant.
The speed limit should be not more than 20 everywhere.
Or even bicycle priority type streets.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
There's a lot of these things, but in the actuality of the shared streets that I see every day, because I'm a block away over on Harvard Street.
Yeah.
And I walk down Magazine Street frequently. Yeah. I don't know so much about Garden Street.
Right.
But the thing is what I basically see is a slalom course of people just going around these A-frame signs. And I don't really see where it's necessarily providing much of a benefit. It seemed like
there's nobody walking in the streets. I'm sorry. I don't see anybody. And that was the whole point of it. We need more space. We don't need more space. We live in a place that has so many spaces, it makes me nuts. I mean, we have a Charles River that goes from one end of Cambridge to another that you can get to. Maybe you don't want to walk half a mile. Sorry. But, you know, we have so many places we can walk in this city without having sustained 15-minute contact with somebody less than 6 feet. I'm sorry. It's just crazy.
Right. Well, I think that when the ideas were first being floated, there was a kind of a very large emphasis on, you know, 6 feet and distance. And you remember what it was like when you walked down the street.
Oh, everybody.
It was sort of like, it was like,
oh, you got to avoid them. You don't have to do that. We're all masked. I think, most of us are really paying, you know, we're good and we're masked and...
Yeah, the reality right now is that level of caution.
Right.
I mean, caution is important here, but that level it just doesn't seem to be warranted.
I need more caution if I'm walking in a street now on those shared streets.
Right.
You have to watch cars, trucks, and bicyclists. So,
yes, it's true.
Anyway, now, we have to get off that because it's just making me angry.
Right. But, you know, I think one thing, since that was at least the inspiration for the shared street, or at least let's call it the excuse for the shared street, because, there's a cynical part of me feels that these are the types of things that some people just want to implement. And in many respects, the presence of a pandemic kind of gives you an excuse for doing so.
Yeah.
You know, so they just want to sort of, all right, now's our chance to sort of push forward. And that's what they want to do.
But the irony of it is that now oil prices have fallen. People are afraid to use public transport, which is unfortunate. So they're using their cars more to get back and forth. And it's just.
Well, they're using their cars more when they need to use to get around. Yeah. And a lot of people also working from home, which means that the net amount of traffic has been very much reduced overall.
I'm just saying, there's different things that have been happening. I showed you that photo of the parking garage, and because remember a few months ago it was 583 spaces, and now I think it said 323. So people are coming back.
Yeah. Well, also some of the research institutes in Cambridge are to some degree.
Yeah.
Kind of tied into the academic world too.
Oh yeah, so they're working. So,
So that now that some students are back, it means there's some more activity in these related fields as well.
We're also developing vaccines and everything in this city. I mean, we've got.
Thank God. Yeah.
Moderna. You've got Pfizer. You've got. I mean, I don't know. I know Moderna is. I don't know about Pfizer, but they're all doing something. Yeah, for this. Yeah.
By the way, one thing I saw today is yet another major restaurant. Bar in Central Square apparently closing.
Which one?
The Asgard.
Oh, well, they haven't been around that long, have they?
Well, they're not forever, but the thing is, they've been around for a fair number of years now. Yeah. You know, and the question I raised about closures of restaurants, bars, and other places during the pandemic is, you know, there's a closure and then there's a forever closure.
Yes.
On the one hand, you can say, well, we're going to close because there's no way that, you know, if we have the option to close and so that we don't have to be responsible for, you know, depending on the relationship and your lease arrangement, so that we can actually not have to pay out money and be in a constant state of losing. That's formally right. Closing may actually be your best option. But the question is, come next year, if there's a better environment where places can remain open and people are not afraid to go in them, how many of these places which seem to be closing, as you know, closing sounds like it's got finality to it. Well, but I'm my guess, and again, this is only a guess, is that a fair number of places that are just going to disappear this year may rise like Phoenix from the ashes and reappear when they can be economically sustainable again. I mean, if somebody really wants to run a bar or a restaurant and it's always been their dream and they really want to continue doing it, there will come a point where if it's possible to do it, many of them will say, let's give it another shot.
Right. And there might be more places because there's so many empty places. But
and maybe there'll also be some renegotiated leases down the road, too. And maybe that will help make all of these businesses more sustainable.
Right.
You know, it'd be interesting.
Right, Robert, we've got 15 seconds left till we're taking a break at 6:27.
Right.
CCTV and then coming back at 6:30. So let's just go off right now, maybe soon. We'll see you in the next segment. Right now.
All right. Okay. All right.